We continue our scripture reading through the letter to the Hebrews this morning with chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. This is on page 1282 if you're using the Pew Bible. This passage will once more focus our attention on the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and that it was a sacrifice that was once for all. You'll see that phrase repeated throughout the passage. And this is concluding an argument that the writer of Hebrews has been unfolding since chapter 7 pertaining to the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, he speaks in our passage today, as we saw last week, of the repeated sacrifices of the high priests under the Old Covenant as a contrast with that great once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the new covenant administration. And the point is not that Christ's sacrifice replaces those old ones, but rather it's the culmination and fulfillment of them. It is the thing to which all of those old covenant sacrifices pointed. Those sacrifices served as a reminder that sins must be dealt with. And Christ's sacrifice serves as a perpetual reminder that sins have been dealt with. And the teaching of this passage that the sacrifice of Christ is offered but once for the remission of the sins of his people is one of the fundamental reasons that we are Protestants. It is one of the fundamental reasons why and we must continue to reject Roman Catholicism. Whatever good and useful things Roman Catholic teachers might say as pertains to cultural issues, the Roman Mass is the center of their theology and worship, and it is an abomination. It is a blasphemous stench in the nostrils of our God. And you may say that sounds like strong language, and it is, but necessarily so. We all know that the Roman Catholics believe that the bread and the wine become the actual body and blood of Christ through transubstantiation. But I want to submit to you that while that, of course, is repugnant to reason and scripture, that is not the primary issue. The primary issue is what they believe is happening. They believe that Christ in that moment is once more being sacrificed for sin. Roman Catholics like to brag that there is not an hour of the day that goes by that at some point in the globe the Mass is not being offered. And what they're saying is there's not an hour of the day in which our Lord Jesus does not need to be sacrificed once more. It's a denial of the sufficiency of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ that was once for all. Christ sat down, our passage says, once he had made this sacrifice, because it was sufficient to perfect his people. And the language of verse 14, which I'll read just briefly here, it says, "For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." That's going to be a really important theme in our sermon later today, that in one sense, yes, that work has completely perfected. All that's necessary for justification has been done, but it's been done for those who are still in the process of being sanctified. This is one of the pictures of that great already but not yet aspect of this New Testament age in which we live. And then, as is his custom, the author of Hebrews is going to make this argument citing two Old Testament passages. First, in verses 5 to 7 of Hebrews 10, he's going to cite Psalm 40. And he explains that citation this way. He says in verse 9 that Christ did away with the sacrifices that he might establish the will of God. That is, Jesus did away with the sacrifices that were pointing to him, that he might fulfill that will of God to which they pointed. The system of the Old Covenant sacrifices was a placeholder for the true sacrifice to come. The cross had been the plan since the garden, you might say. And then the second quote that he brings in is from Jeremiah 31. And that's, of course, the great passage of the New Covenant that he quoted extensively in Hebrews chapter 8. But he brings it up here again to say that while all of those Old Covenant types and shadows were designed to mediate the grace of God and to instruct the people in that era, in that time, that the substance of them has come. The substance of all of those promises is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all the promises of God are yes and amen. And since he has come and done the work that actually forgives sins, there is no longer any place for sacrifices. To have ongoing sacrifices for sins is to call Jesus a liar, for he himself said on the cross, "It is finished." Well, with these thoughts in mind, let us now give our attention to the reading and the hearing of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Since the worshippers have once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of your book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order that he might establish the second. And by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my law in their hearts and write them on their minds," then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Thus far is the reading of God's word. May he add its blessings to it.